Chapter 28. Graham Humberley's house sprawled over the top of a hill in Palos Verdes, a posh bedroom community of Los Angeles. The architecture was a blend of contemporary and California Spanish with rough-coated plaster walls and ceilings, laced with massive weathered beams covered by a roof of curved red tile. A large fountain splashed on the main terrace and spilled into a circular swimming pool. A spectacular panoramic view overlooked a vast carpet of city lights to the east, while the rear faced down on the Pacific Ocean and Catalina Island to the west. Music from a mariachi band and the tidal current of babble from 100 voices greeted Shaw as he entered Humberley's home. Bartenders were feverishly mixing gallons of tequila margaritas, while the caterers busily replenished spicy Mexican dishes on a buffet table that seemed to stretch into infinity. A small man with a head too large for his shoulders approached. He was wearing a black dinner jacket with an oriental dragon embroidered on the back. "Hello, I'm Graham Humberley," he said with a glossy smile. "Welcome to the party." "Brian Shaw." The smile remained glossy. "Oh, yes, Mr. Shaw. Sorry for not recognizing you, but our mutual friends didn't send me a photograph." "You have a most impressive home. Nothing quite like it in England." "Thank you, but the credit belongs to my wife. I preferred something more provincial. Fortunately, her taste surpassed mine." Humberley's accent, Shaw guessed, hinted of Cornwall. "Is Commander Milligan present?" Humberley took his arm and led him away from the crowd. "Yes, she's here," he said softly. "I had to invite every officer of the ship to make sure she'd come. Come along, I'll introduce you around." "I'm not much for social dribble," said Shaw. "Suppose you point her out and I'll handle things on my own." "As you wish." Humberley studied the mass of bodies milling around the terrace. Then his gaze stopped and he nodded toward the bar. The tall, rather attractive woman with blonde hair in the blue dress. Shaw easily picked her out in an admiring circle of white-uniformed naval officers. She looked to be in her mid-30s and radiated a warmth that escaped most women. She seemed to accept the attention naturally without any sign of caprice. Shaw liked what he saw at first glance. "Perhaps I can smooth the way by separating her from the horde," said Humberley.
"Don't bother," replied Shaw.
"By the way, do you have a car I might borrow?"
"I have a fleet. What have you got in mind, a chauffeured limousine?"
"Something with more spirit."
Humberley thought a moment. "Will a Rolls-Royce Corniche convertible be appropriate?"
"It should do nicely."
"You will find it in the drive, a red one. The keys will be in the ignition."
"Thank you."
"Not at all."
"Good hunting."
Humberley returned to his duties as host. Shaw moved toward the bar and shouldered his way up to Heidi Milligan. A blonde young lieutenant gave him an indignant stare.
"A bit pushy, aren't you, Dad?"
Shaw ignored him and smiled at Heidi.
"Commander Milligan, I'm Admiral Brian Shaw. May I have a word with you?"
"Alone."
Heidi studied his face a moment, trying to place him. She gave up and nodded.
"Of course, Admiral."
The blonde lieutenant looked as if he'd discovered his fly was open.
"My apologies, sir, but I thought..."
Shaw flashed him a benevolent smile. "Always remember, lad, it pays to know the enemy."
"I like your style, Admiral," Heidi shouted over the roar of the wind.
Shaw's foot pressed the accelerator another half-inch, and the Rolls surged north along the San Diego freeway. He'd had no specific destination in mind when he left the party with Heidi. 30 years had passed since he last saw Los Angeles. He drove aimlessly, depending only on the direction signs, not at all sure where they would take him. He glanced at her out of the corner of his eye. Her eyes were wide and sparkling from exhilaration. He felt her hand grip his arm.
"You better slow down," she yelled, "before you're stopped by a cop."
That he didn't need. Shaw eased off the gas pedal and let the car coast down to the legal speed limit. He turned on the FM radio, and a Strauss waltz settled over the car. He started to change the station, but she touched his hand.
"No, leave it."
She leaned back in the seat and gazed up at the stars.
"Where are we going?"
"An old Scottish ploy," he laughed. "Abduct females to distant places. That way they must become interested in you if they want to get home."
"Won't work," she laughed. "I'm already 3,000 miles away from home."
"Without a uniform, too."
Naval regulation. Lady officers are allowed to dress in civilian attire for social functions. 3 cheers for the American Navy. She looked at him speculatively. I've never known an admiral who drove a Rolls-Royce. He smiled. There are dozens of us on the beach, old British sea dogs, who wouldn't be caught in any other car. 3 cheers for your Navy, she laughed. Seriously, I made a few wise investments when I commanded a naval depot in Ceylon. What do you do now that you're retired from service? Write, mostly. Historical books. Nelson at the Battle of the Nile, the Admiralty in World War I, that sort of thing. Hardly the stuff bestsellers are made of, but there's a certain amount of prestige attached to it. She looked at him strangely. You're putting me on. I beg your pardon. Do you really write historical naval books? Of course, he said innocently. Why should I lie? Incredible, murmured Heidi. I do too, but I've yet to be published. I say, that is incredible, Shaw said, doing his best to appear properly amazed. Then he groped for her hand, found it, and gave a light pressure. When must you return to your ship? He could feel her tremble slightly. There's no rush. He glanced at a large green sign with white letters as it flashed past. Have you ever been to Santa Barbara? No, she said in almost a whisper. But I hear it's beautiful. In the morning it was Heidi who ordered breakfast from room service. As she poured the coffee, she experienced a glowing warmth of delight. Making love to a stranger only a few hours after meeting him gave her an inner thrill she had not known before. It was a sensation that was peculiar to her. She could easily recall the men she'd had, the frightened midshipman at Annapolis, her ex-husband, Admiral Walter Bass, Dirk Pitt, and now Shaw. She could see them all clearly, as if they were lined up for inspection. Only 5, hardly enough to make up an army, much less a platoon. Why is it, she wondered, the older a woman becomes, the more she regrets not having gone to bed with more men? She became annoyed with herself. She had been too careful in her single years, afraid to appear overly eager, never able to bring herself to indulge in a casual affair. How silly of her, she thought. After all, she often felt she'd had 10 times the physical pleasure of any man. Her ecstasy mushroomed from within. Men she knew had felt a sensation that was merely external. They seemed to rely more on imagination and were frequently disappointed afterward. Sex to them was often no different from going to a movie. A woman demands much more. Too much. You look pensive this morning, said Shaw. He pulled up her hair and kissed the nape of her neck. Suffering remorse in the cold light of dawn? More like entranced in fond remembrance. When do you sail? Day after tomorrow. Then we still have time together. She shook her head. I'll be on duty until we cast off. Shaw walked over and stared through the sliding glass doors of their hotel room overlooking the ocean. He could only see a few hundred feet. The Santa Barbara coastline was covered by a mantle of fog. A damn shame, he said wistfully. We have so much in common. She came over and slipped her arm around his waist. What do you have in mind, making love at night and researching by day? He laughed. Americans and their direct humor. Not a bad idea, though. We might very well complement each other. What exactly is it you're writing at the moment? My thesis for a doctorate. The Navy under President Wilson's administration. Sounds terribly dull.
It is.
Heidi went silent, a thoughtful look in her face. Then she said, Have you ever heard of the North American Treaty? There it was. No coaxing, no intrigue or torture. She simply came out with it. Shaw did not answer immediately. He chose his reply carefully. Yes, I recall running across it. Heidi looked at him, her mouth half open to speak, but nothing came out. You have a strange expression on your face. You're familiar with the treaty? She asked in astonishment. You've actually seen references to it?
I've never actually read the wording. Fact is, I've forgotten its purpose. It was of little consequence, as I remember. You can find material relating to it in almost any archive in London.
Shaw had kept his tone nonchalant. He calmly lit a cigarette.
Is the treaty part of your research project?
No, Heidi answered. By chance I stumbled on a brief mention. I pursued it out of curiosity, but turned up nothing that proved it ever truly existed.
I'll be happy to make a copy and send it to you.
Don't bother. Just knowing it wasn't a figment of my imagination is enough to soothe my inquisitive soul. Besides, I turned my notes over to a friend in Washington.
I'll send them to her.
She's a he.
All right, he said, trying to mute the impatience in his voice. What's his name and address?
Dirk Pitt. You can reach him at the National Underwater and Marine Agency.
Shaw had what he came for.
A dedicated agent would have whisked Heidi back to her ship and rushed aboard the first flight to Washington.
Shaw had never considered himself dedicated in the gung-ho sense. There were times it did not pay, and this was one of them.
He kissed Heidi hard on the mouth.
So much for research.
Now let's go back to bed.
And they did.